Okay, 25. Pasuk 25. Okay, Vayafaych Hashem, Vayafaych Hashem overturned the city Israel. V'yez kol akikor the plain. V'yez kol yoshei ha'adim v'tzemach ha'adama. Over here is where it says Vayafaych HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've heard about a ma'pecha. Now what does it mean Vayafaych? So over here it says over here in Rashi, Vayafaych es ha'arim, Vayafaych es ha'arim, arba osan yoshevos b'sil echad, v'hofach melamala lamata shnemar b'chalmish shalach yaday. Okay, so this is an amazing Rashi. And he says over here that we know there were really five cities. But the fifth city, Tsoyan, Olavan got permission from the Malach that it should not be destroyed. So we have left Sodom, Amora, Adma, and Tzivoyim. There were four different cities. Rashi here says all four cities were residing on a rock. There was a big, massive rock. And this rock, Arba Asad, all of these four, Yoshvas Besel Echad, V'hofchon Milamala Lamata, and Hashem took the rock and he turned it upside down. Milamala Lamata. Shenemar B'chalmish, against the rock, Shalach Yadoy, did Hashem stretch out his hand. This Pasuk is Darshi in Eif, refers to the destruction of Sodom Amora. Hashem sent out his hand to take this rock and turn it upside down. Targum Pasuk Hafei says, V'hafach Yos Kir V'ayo Hoyle in these cities. The Yos called Meshra, the plain. The Yos called Yosvei Kir V'ayo, everything that dwelt on the Kir V'ayo, V'tzimcha Da'ara, and the Tzemach of the land. Okay, the growth, the tzemach ha'adam. Okay, it looks pretty straightforward. So the pasuk mentions, we have cities, we have a kikar, and yoshvei ha'adim, and the tzemach ha'adam. Four things. There are four things that were destroyed when Sodom was destroyed. The cities, the es ha'arim. Number two is the kikar. Number three are the yoshvei ha'arim. Okay, so the ha'arim is not the same as the yoshvei ha'arim. The city was destroyed, the kikar was destroyed, the residents of the harim were destroyed, and number four, the tzemach ha'adama was destroyed. Now, Targum, we read the Targum. Targum was pretty straightforward, and over here in the commentary, he doesn't say anything. So that means that we're going to go further. Pasuk Chavav, v'atabet ishtoy me'acharav v'atahi nitzev melach. Okay, the famous story. Eishas Loit, what was her name? I don't know. What was Mrs. Loit's name? I don't know, but she gazed backwards and she became a pillar of salt. Okay, a pillar of salt. Now, let's see Rashi. V'atabet ishto me'acharav shalot. Rashi over here says that she turned behind Loit. That's a chiddush, because we would assume that when she turned around behind herself. Okay, she turned behind herself, she turned backwards. Rashi makes a point in saying that she turned behind Loit. Okay, we have Vatahi, she became a nitziv melech, she became a pillar of salt. B'melechata u'b'melech loksa. She sinned with salt, and she was smitten, she was punished with salt. This is the principle throughout the entire Torah, a basic principle in Judaism. Mida k'neged mida. Everything that Hashem does is measure for measure. What you do, whatever you do to someone else, you do to Hashem, Hashem gives you back exactly the same thing. Omar la, tini mat melach la'archim halalu. Loit asked his wife, please give some salt to the guests. Omar la, she said to him, af haninuk hara hazeh atabo lahanik b'mokim hazeh. You want to bring into the city this minna, this custom of giving salt to the guests? No way. So she was stingy. She did not want to give salt to the people, and therefore she was punished. She turned into a pillar of salt. Very interesting. I mean, it's a little bit strange. First of all, what's the punishment? Just because she did not want to give salt, so she turned into salt. What's the mida k'neged mida? I mean, to be transformed into salt, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. It's very difficult. Okay, and over here, what does the Targum say? Targum says, V'is da kias it to say. Now, the word V'is da kias means like histaklus, is to gaze. It to say, his wife, mi bos rohi, backwards, v'havos kamon, kama de milcha, she turned into a kama, a pillar of salt. Now the commentary on the Targum on my Chumash says Bitzivu Hamalach Al Tabit Acharech As. We have to remember that when the Malach said they should leave, the Malach gave instructions. Back in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we didn't learn this. We didn't learn this together. Maybe we learned last year. Not likely. But back in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, "Vayehi ki hoytziyam oisa machutza vayomer hi molet al nafshecha al tabit acharecha." So back in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Malach gave them instructions: do not look backwards. Al tabit acharecha. And there, did Rashi make a comment over there? On Pasuk Yud Zayin, Al Tabit Acharecha. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna read the Rashi over there. Al Tabit Acharecha. Ato Hirshata Imohem, Uvischus Avraham Nitzol, Eincha Kedai Lirois Bipuronosam Viata Nitzol. Okay, so there, when the Malach said, do not look backwards, why not? You're wicked, and you deserve to die. And the only reason why you are being spared is because of the merit of Avraham. And therefore, it's not kedai for you to witness their punishment. And that you being saved. You're not any better than them. If you're not better than them, you don't deserve to see. Okay, that's the principle. If you're not any better, when a person merits salvation, it can be for one of two reasons. Either he deserves salvation, or because zuchus avos. So when a person is only being saved because of Zchusavos, it's not proper that he should witness the downfall of his enemies. But when a person deserves salvation, then he can witness to see his enemies defeated. All right, it's all this over there. And over here she disobeyed. And here it says she turned into a pillar of salt. Now there in that Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Targum translates the word Al Tabit in Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'havokad apeg yosan levodo, V'amar chus al nafshach lo tistiki. Don't tis the key la'achoy roch. And here it says the same, it says the istakias. So it's the same word. Everything is good. It's the same word. Now, by the way, the word the istakias would appear to mean to intensely gaze. Now, tabet means, I would assume, a glance. That's what we normally say. There's a difference between the word habota and histakel. Histakel means to gaze intensely. And a habata means a simple glance. And yet here, what does it say over here? It says over here in the Targum, V'istakias, V'tzibu ha-malach al tabir ha-recha, Targum unglis l'acharoch. V'tzarachin l'amashin v'targum v'kan. Okay, so he's saying over here another point. Let me just read over here. Yeshav Targum unglis l'acharoch, Yeshav Targum unglis l'acharoch, Yeshav Targum unglis l'acharoch, Yeshav Targum unglis l'acharoch, Alright, so you see over here is a proof to my principle. You know, I want to tell you something. But yesterday, I was talking to someone about Rashi and Unkelus. And we were talking, and we have over here this incredible book, new book, hot off the press. Okay, Blaze, I showed this to you, right? This book, Rashi Elucidated, this brand new. The steam is still coming. They took Rashi, they did the Chumash and Rashi, they redid it. I never liked it. Not nice to say that, okay, but I never was such a big fan of the art scroll Chumash Rashi. I wasn't so happy with it. Not that I'm not a person to make a comment, but they made a new one. They made a brand new one called the Elucidated Rashi. It's double the size. It's double the volumes. There's going to be two volumes for each Chumash. Now, in the very beginning, they have a very beautiful introduction. They have a biographical sketch of Rashi. And they say a lot of things I didn't know about Rashi, a lot of things are new to me. And they explain this commentary on the Gemara, commentary on Chumash, and they say a lot of Chidusha. Nowhere in the Hakdama of this beautiful, elaborate introduction in the art scroll does it say what I've been saying my whole life, what I was saying since we started learning, that Rashi did not write a parish on Chumash, but he wrote a parish on Unkelus. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Not even one. It's a very nice, a very sophisticated introduction. Okay, in this very beautiful work. No, it doesn't say that. And I was very taken back. I was very surprised. That. So maybe I'm beginning to question myself. Maybe I'm wrong. That Rashi didn't write a commentary on Unculus. He wrote his own commentary. This I just read now proves that I'm right. Why? This is what he says over here. This is the proof that I'm right. Over here in this Targum it says Vatabet Ishtoi Me Acharov. His wife looked Me Acharov. Now the Targum translates the Ista Kias, that means to look, it is say loves white, Mi Bos Rohi. So what does the word Mibos Rohi mean? It means behind him. Mibos Rohi means it means behind. Now, he asked the question, the commentator that I'm using to understand Unculus, he asked the question. Back in Pasuk Yitzayin, the Malach gave them a command, don't you dare turn around and look. And he said to them, Vayomer hi molet al nafshech, al tabit me'acharecha, don't look behind you. There, the same words, tabit and the word acharecha. So tabit should be the word istakias, which it is. It is lotistiki. But then when it says acharayich, don't look behind you, in Pasuk Yitzayin, the uncle says la acharoch. La acharoch. And here the same exact word it says, Pasuk, in Pasuk Chof Vav, Mi Bos Rohi. So what's the difference between the word La'achoroch and the word Bos Rohi? These are two different words in Aramaic, and they're both being used to translate a Hebrew word, Acharov. In Pasuk Chof Vav, the word is Bos Rohi, and in Pasuk Yitzayin, the word is Acharoch. So what's going on? So here in this commentary, he explains. He says, "V'tzivu hamalach al tabit acharecha targum unkelus lachoroch v'tzorchiyin l'mashini v'targum kan." So then he gives an answer. Yesh oimim. Some say she unkelus before sham shatzivu he shaloi yabit letzad ha'achor shaloi. Don't look to the tzad ha'achor, means the other side. Okay. Avul kan v'atabet ishtoi me'acharecha peru shoy. Ishtoi shahoy sohoy leches acharav vatabet ishto me acharav. Wow. So what he says over here is unbelievable. He says, and now you appreciate Rashi. I really want to explain this well, to bring out the point that I'm right. As if I'm never right, but there's a massive machlokes Rashi and Unculus on the translation of the word me'acharav. The Targum says, "Vatabet ishto me'acharav." The word acharav means his wife that was behind him. She turned around. The word me'acharav is the subject of the word me'acharav is Lot's wife. Lot's wife that was walking behind Lot. It's not telling us where she looked. In Pasuk Yitzayin, the word me'acharov is modifying the word habet. Don't look me'acharov. In this Pasuk, the word me'acharov is not telling you a direction. It's telling you that Lot's wife was walking behind Lot. Vatabet ishto, who was standing me'acharov. Now, where did she look? Doesn't tell us where she looked. She looked in the front, she looked over here, over there. That doesn't tell you. The Malach said to Lot, back in Pasuk Yitzayin, when you walk, you walk straight, and you don't turn around 180 degrees. here it says that Lot's wife looked. Where did she look? Doesn't say. Mistaver, we could assume that she looked backwards, but it doesn't say that. All it says in the pasuk is that she looked. What does the word me'acharav mean? What is what a me'acharav? Acharav means Lot's wife who was standing behind him. She looked. How do you know that's the pshat? Because the Targum translates the word me'acharav differently in pasuk Yud Zayin and in pasuk Chavav. In pasuk Yud Zayin, it takes the word me'acharav and it says the word there. The word is, go back to pasuk Yud Zayin. It says there, Amar Chusanar Lotistiki, do not look la'acharav. Don't turn around 180 degrees. Here in this pasuk, in the word acharav, the word is, the word that he uses is basrohi, and it means that according to this understanding, it means the istakias, it is say, mi basrohi, his wife that was standing behind him, she gazed. It doesn't say where she gazed. So that's unculus, very novel. What did Rashi do? Rashi looks at this pasuk, and Rashi sees what Unculus did, and Rashi says, Unculus, I'm sorry to tell you, you got it wrong. I disagree with you. I hold the translation of Me'acharav in this pasuk is the same translation as Acharav in pasuk Yitzayim, that Lot's wife looked behind Lot. V'atabet isho Me'acharav shaloit. Ablazi, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
So it turns out now, it's clear as day, Rashi only made this comment because he picked up on Unculus, the contradiction in Unculus.
Ambiguous.
Not ambiguous. It's clear.
Unculus is ambiguous. That's the same
man. No, he's not. He's not ambiguous. Unculus is not ambiguous. Unculus, according to the rules of grammar, it's clear as day. When you go, you walk. Who goes first, the man or the woman? I don't know. Depends. It depends if you want. If you want your wife to serve you supper, you better let your wife go first. The Gemara says, "Achori yari, v'lo yachori isha." I always say that to a woman that I know. I always say that to her. Achori yari, v'lo. In other words, men first. Not ladies first. Man goes first. If you go behind the woman, it's like walking. Better walk behind the lion than walk behind the woman. Because, whatever. That's the Gemara says, better walk behind the lion. Go, even though the lion can turn around and eat you up. That's already good. Then to walk behind the woman, ho-ho, you're finished. You go straight again. Straight again. Okay, now in America, like I told you about Goldwasser, I told you that story. Is he asked him during the 9 days? He asked him, 9 days? I'm going on a date. Am I allowed to wear deodorant? So Goldwasser said, it depends.
What's the question?
There was a boy who asked Rabbi Goldwasser, he's going on a date. Shidduchim, on a date during the 9 days. And he asked Rabbi Goldwasser, am I allowed to wear deodorant for the date? So Rabbi Goldwasser said to him, well, you know, the 9 days, you know, you're not allowed to go, you know, do a lot of things, a lot of limitations, like perfume, 9 days. So Rabbi Goldwasser said to him, it depends. So the boy said to Rabbi Goldwasser, depends, what does it depend on? So he said, it depends if you want to get married. If you want to get married, you better wear deodorant. If you don't want to get married, then don't wear deodorant. So the Gemara says what it says. Ms. Blatter, I wouldn't take this too literally. If I was with you, I would say to you, ladies first. But the Gemara talks about this thing called, you know, who goes first. Now, that's not really relevant to our discussion. But the point over here is that when Lot was leaving, think about it. If we were leaving Sodom, who would go first? Okay, the Malach says, get out of Sodom. Who'd go first? Would you run out of the door and hope that your wife follows you behind you? Or would you say, wife, please go first. Let's get out of here. I want to make sure you're safe. You're safe. Go first. Somebody told me this past Shabbos. I don't know if this is Hashgacha about this. He was by the Koisel Hamaravi. I don't know how long ago this was, a number of years ago. And all of a sudden, a siren went off. In other words, there was a warning that there's a bomb coming. He was by the Koisel Hamaravi. So he told me everyone by the Koisel ran into the cave, Wilson's Arch. They ran into the awning, they ran. He ran in the other direction to find his wife. Because his wife was, by the ladies in the other direction. So he was running this way to the ladies section to find his wife. And everyone there in the Chrysler Plaza was running this way to run for safety into the cave. And he was telling me how proud he is of himself that he put his wife first. There was a siren, it was dangerous, so he went to go protect his wife. He went to go find his wife. Okay. Over here, Lot is escaping. The Malach says, get out of here. Get out of Sodom. So Lot runs for the front door. Where's his wife? Is his wife in front of him, or is his wife following behind him? So it says over here in this pasuk, according to the Targum, Vatabet Ishtoi Me'acharav. The word Me'acharav is modifying where Lot's wife is standing, not in which direction she is looking. Lot is running for his life. Lot's wife is also running for her life. And Lot's wife is not able to run as fast as Lot. So therefore, Lot's wife is positioned behind Lot. When it says the word Me'acharav in this pasuk, in Pasuk Chavav, it means that Lot's wife is behind Lot, Me'acharav. And it says, what did she do when she was running behind Lot? She looked. She gazed. What did she look at? I don't know. It doesn't say what she looked at. But she looked at something while she was running for her life, and she was standing. Her position was behind her husband as they fled. And she looked. Where did she look? I don't know. She looked somewhere. Back in Pasuk Yitzayim, when the Malach gave instructions to Lot and his wife, you should run away, you should run for your life, you should escape, Lot, the Malach said to Lot, Lot, when you leave, when you run away, I'm warning you, don't look backwards. You, Lot, make sure your eyes don't turn around and look backwards. So there, the word acharav in Pasuk Yitzayim is modifying the word al tabit. Don't look. It's modifying the looking. How do you know that? How do you know it's the same word? Pasuk Yitzayim, it says the word al tabit. Acharecha. And here it says, Vatabet ishtoi me acharav. So why? How do you know that in Pasuk Yitzayim the word acharecha, acharecha, and acharav are the same word? How do you know back in Pasuk Yitzayim it says don't? The word acharecha is modifying the look, and don't look backwards. And here when it says v'atabet ishto me'acharav, acharav is the position of where Lot's wife was standing. So the answer is because of the way Unkelus translates the word acharav in Pasuk Yitzayim. He translates the word over there, Lotistiki la'achoyroch. Don't look backwards. And here in Pasuk Chavav, he translates the word, V'istakias, it is say, Mibos rohi. And in the context, it means that she looked. Who looked? Lot's wife, who was standing behind Lot, she looked. Where did she look? It doesn't tell us where she looked. So you see over here, Unkelus is very clever. I have one expression, and one expression has two words which are basically identical. The root is identical. Yet, he tells you they don't mean the same thing. They mean something completely different. In Pasuk Yitzayim, the word acharav is telling you is modifying the word look. Don't look backwards. Here the word acha, the word acharav, is not telling, is not modifying the looking. It's describing Lot's wife, where she is standing relative to Lot. Where did she look? It doesn't tell you where she looked. Rashi, now when you understand that, now you can fully understand what Rashi is doing. Rashi have a pasuk, v'atabed ishtoy me'acharav, v'atin itzid melech. If you never learn Ugalus, and you look at Rashi, what? Rashi says, what is it? V'atabed ishtoy me'acharav, me'acharav shalot. What? That's what you need Rashi for? You need Rashi to go tell you this? They're running for their life, and Lot's wife, v'atabed, she looked acharav. She looked backwards. And Rashi, what does it mean backwards? And backwards, she looked me'acharav shalot. She looked backwards. She looked behind. She turned around. She turned around 180 degrees to look backwards. That's what Rashi is saying. I need Rashi to tell you that. Isn't that the Pashup Shat? No. When you look at Unkelis disagrees. Unkelis says it doesn't say that she looked backwards. Unkelis says we don't know where she looked. Maybe she looked forward. She looked to the left, to the right. Doesn't say where she looked. She looked at something. So now, when you first study Unkelis, and you appreciate how Unkelis takes the same expression that appears in two places, and he translates the word completely different, and Rashi picks up upon this, and Rashi comes along and says, I disagree. I totally disagree with what you've said. What you've said doesn't make any sense. You're saying over there it means she looked backwards, and here it's acha that she's standing behind Lot. I disagree with that. And now the words of Rashi, they leap off the page. Vatabet ishtoy me'acharav, me'acharav, she looked. This is where she looked. So now, according to this, it becomes super duper clear. Rashi is primarily focusing not on his own commentary. He's coming over here to tackle Unkelis. See, I'll read you over here this comment over here in the you don't have this, the Ma'at, sorry. He writes B'tzivu ha'maluch al tabid achavech targum Unkelis l'acharuch. V'tzarchiyin. Lama shina b'targum ha'ikan. Why here in this comment did he change? And did he say the word Basrohi? So Yesh Oimrim. So those that say Shunkelis Mefarisham Shatsivu Hoyeshlo Yabit Litzad Ho Acharishlo. There it means the command was don't turn around 180 degrees. Avulkan over here Vatabet Ishtoy Miacharov Perushoy Ishtoy Lot's wife Shahoiso who was standing Hoyleches Acharov. The word acharav means something completely different in this passage. That's why Unkelis uses a different word. Udeloy kerashi. Not like what Rashi says. Sheperosh me'acharav shalot. Turned around. That the word here in this passage, Rashi understands the word acharav to mean that Lot's wife, she looked backwards. Kiloy ma'ashoyse nimseis mitzad acharav shalot. Umisham hibito. She looked over there. She looked the opposite side of Lot. So now it becomes crystal clear why Rashi made this comment. He's making this comment to disagree with Unkelis. On this pasuk, there are probably a million midrashim. This is what Rashi has to say. That Lot's wife turned around 180 degrees? That's what you need Rashi for? Rashi's not coming to go give you all the midrashim. Rashi is coming over here to write a commentary on Unkelis. I disagree with Unkelis. Okay, this goes to prove my thesis.
Oh yeah, you want to hear about that?
Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. And ladies, am I being clear?
Yes.
Yeah. Ms. Glad, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand.
Ms. Glad, do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, I hope we lose her. Could be I lost her, I don't know. All right, let's go by it.
Is
see this more often in more other places also?
Oh, they're here. I'm sorry. All over. This idea is all over the place. Every other Rashi, you have this. You can't learn Rashi without learning Ungulus. Rashi, like I told you, Rashi, you know, there are hundreds of Midrashim that Rashi can cite. And Rashi, it's very surprising on a Pasuk, you know, he makes these very technical comments, that's it? The answer is because Rashi is not coming to write a Sefer on his own. He's coming to analyze the Targum, and he's either coming to support what the Targum says, or he's coming to disagree with the Targum, or sometimes in between. And then, okay, other times Rashi also, he embellishes the Chumash with his own comments. But the primary focus is always Ungulus. What Ungulus says, is it correct or is it not correct? And that's why I'm very disappointed, because we Baruch Hashem, you see, until I met you and we learned this, started learning Ungulus together, I would say, yeah, Rashi wrote a Sefer on Chumash. And then the more we learn Ungulus and Rashi together, it becomes blatantly clear that Rashi wrote what's called a super commentary. A commentary is on the subject. He wrote a commentary on a commentary. And when I read this introduction, which they published, took them 20 years probably since they put out the first edition. Now they put out this new one, which is double the size, and which is a much greater. And they wrote a beautiful biological sketch of Rashi, and they wrote some very fascinating things I never knew about Rashi, this commentary. They did not mention what I just told you. They completely left out that concept. They make it sound in this introduction, which is magnificent. Rashi sat down, he took out a Chumash, and he began to write a commentary on Chumash, taking information from all of his knowledge of the Talmud and the Medrash. That's not true. Rashi did not write a commentary on the Chumash. Rashi wrote a commentary on Ungulus. It's so clear. And you see it again and again, and today we just spent half an hour on is case in point. And it's really, really, it's a really beautiful idea, because this is the Matsari. Same exact three words. Same three words. Vatabeit ishtoi me acharav. I would never notice in a million years. What does it mean? But I always taught from the kindergarten, Vatabeit ishto, the wife of Lot, gazed me acharav backwards. She turned around and she looked backwards. Where was Lot's wife standing? It would make it sound like she was in front of Lot. That's really the Nafkamina. According to Rashi, it sounds like when they left Sodom, Lot said to his wife, "Ladies first. You go in front of me." And they went. And they were going forward. And then Vatabeit Ishto, Lot's wife looked, me'acharav, behind Lot. Which means if Lot's wife is standing in front of Lot, so she made an about face. She turned around 180 degrees. That's what Rashi says. That's how every child, if you ask, I challenge you, anyone that you see, you go out into the street and you bring up Chumash and you stop every person in the street and you ask them, translate these words for me. Vatabeit ishtoi me'acharav. They will say to you, tell me, where is Lot standing? Where is Lot's wife standing? Who is in front? Which way are they facing? And what is this possibility? And every single person will tell you, Lot is standing here and his wife is standing in front of him and they're facing forward and they're marching forward. And then Lot's wife turns around 180 degrees. By her turning around 180 degrees, she's basically looking behind Lot. And the Malach said, don't do that. Don't turn around backwards to look behind you. And that's why she turned into a pillar of salt. Ungulus, you would think that's what Ungulus is saying. But the problem is, when the command was given, the word that Ungulus used to translate Al Tabet Acharecha is not the same word that he translates over here about Tabet Ishto Me Acharov. It's the same word, Acharov and Acharecha is the same word. And it uses different words. And then when you analyze it more carefully, it becomes very clear that the Ungulus understands this pasuk. How do you translate? Where was Lot? Lot was standing in front. He wasn't such a nice husband. When he went and Sodom was destroyed, he ran for his own life. He couldn't care less about his wife. He let his wife, "You run behind me." He ran first. He went first. And his wife was behind him. And that's exactly what it says. It says, "Vatabet," and then it says that she looked. It doesn't even tell you what she looked at. But it says, "Vatabet ishto," who was standing, "Mei acharav." She was mei acharav shalot. And she looked. That's what comes out from according to the Targum. And that means the word me'acharav in this pasuk is not the same acharav as in pasuk Yud-Zayin. And Rashi takes note of this. And Rashi says, "Wait a minute. I totally disagree with that. I totally disagree." And that is why Rashi makes this comment, which seems to be super simple. Yeah, it's super simple if there was nothing else. But since Rashi knows that everyone first learns Unkelus, and then they learn Rashi, so you're gonna learn like Unkelus, and you're gonna learn Unkelus well. You're gonna see that Unkelus telling you that Lot was in front and Ishtoi was behind, and she looked around, and she turned into salt. And Rashi says, no, I disagree with that. I disagree. The word Acharav here is the same Acharav back in Pasuk Yitzayin, which means that Lot was standing. Lot's wife was in front, and Lot was in the back, and they were marching forward. And then Lot's wife made 180. By she making 180, she's looking behind Lot. So now you can understand Rashi seems to be saying something that's so super simple. Yeah, if you wouldn't learn Unkelus, it would be super simple. But Rashi knows that your Iker is Unkelus. And Rashi's saying Unkelus here in this case, he got it wrong. Or more politely, I disagree. Unkelus, you can say what you want to go say, but that's not the way we like to learn the Pasha and the Pasha. Rashi is coming to challenge Unkelus. All right, we're going to stop over here. Thank you very much for learning with me. I would never appreciate this. Not for you. I owe it to you. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everyone. Good night. Good night. Good night, Mordechai.